Fatherless Fanny by Anonymous. Chapter 19. Astonishment. "You have elucidated a mystery," said Fanny, "that has tormented me a long time, but I cannot say you have done it in a satisfactory manner. Your artifice can answer no purpose whatever but to exasperate your guardians, disgust the Duke, and render me ridiculous, or even more than ridiculous, for it shall be supposed that I had some part in the plot. And rest assured, if that be the case, it will make me more wretched than any other circumstance possibly could."
"Never fear, my dear Fanny," replied Miss Stanhope. "The Duke is too far gone to think about prudence now. I have watched him, and I am sure he would as soon part with his life as with the hope of marrying you. As I said before, had he known who you were at first, he might have consulted prudence and avoided the society of a person so dangerous to his peace. But now it is too late. He has had frequent opportunities of observing that your beauty is the least part of your powers of pleasing, and he has expressed himself to me in rapturous terms of those mental charms that are to form the happiness of his future life when he is reunited to the most lovely of women. Those are his own words. When people have imagined the Duke was making love to me, he was entertaining me with your praises, little madam. Am I not a good girl to listen to them without envy? And from the mouth of a lover, too?"
"You have done me an irreparable injury," replied Fanny, "by making me act a part in this drama, although without my concurrence."
"How so?" asked Miss Stanhope. "Surely it is no injury to lay a plan for making you a duchess."
"You do not think becoming the Duchess of Albemarle comprises much happiness," said Fanny, "or you would not reject the offer yourself."
"You are pleased to be sharp with me," answered her friend, "but you ought to recollect, my dear, that I don't like the Duke."
"Neither do I," rejoined Fanny. "By your own confession you acknowledge that had his grace known me to be the portionless creature I am, his prudence would have taught him to avoid me. And yet you suppose me mean enough to take advantage of the infatuation of his senses, which, by the by, I do not believe in, and become a duchess at the expense of my delicacy."
"Your silly scruples about delicacy and nonsense will ruin everything," said Miss Stanhope in an angry tone. "These high-flown romantic notions do very well in the heroine of a novel, but positively they have not common sense in the straightforward everyday occurrences of life. Surely, to a girl who has no dependence but on the bounty of her friends, the opportunity of marrying so advantageously ought not to be slighted."
"Your ideas and mine are very different upon this subject," replied Fanny indignantly. "Nothing ought to be considered advantageous to a woman that militates against her delicacy. And poor and dependent as I am, I would not abate a single grain of that nice feeling to become an empress. Those are my sentiments, and I trust now that you know them, you will at least respect me so far as to forbear mentioning the subject to me any more."
"I have done," replied Miss Stanhope, laughing. "But here comes one to whom the interdiction does not extend, I hope." As she spoke, the Duke of Albemarle entered from the garden. "I am punctual," said he, looking at his watch, and addressing Miss Stanhope. "Tell me, my charming friend, that I am welcome." "To me, most welcome," replied she. "But for that young lady," pointing to Fanny, "I cannot answer so well as I flattered myself I could."
"The visit of the Duke of Albemarle to Miss Stanhope can want no concurrence of mine," said Fanny. "I will therefore retire."
The Duke seized both Fanny's hands as she rose from her chair and made a motion to go. "No, by heavens," said he, I have suffered suspense too long. You shall not now leave me, lovely incomprehensible, until an explanation has taken place between us." "That is right," said Miss Stanhope. "She has forbidden me to speak to her again on the subject, but your Grace is a privileged person."
"Would to heaven I were so," rejoined the Duke.
"Your Grace requires an explanation of me," said Fanny, blushing, "whilst I am unconscious of how it is possible that I should have one to give you. There has been nothing mysterious in any part of my conduct since I have had the honour of being known to your Grace."
"Good heavens!" exclaimed the Duke, turning to Miss Stanhope. "What can this mean?"
"In pity to you both," replied that giddy girl, "I will do more than the laws of the land require of anybody, i.e., I will accuse myself."
She then recapitulated the particulars relating to her plot already known, adding with a laugh,
"Like all other busybodies, I have got myself into the worst scrape after all, and am likely to be thanked by nobody at last, for if your Grace be but as angry with me as my friend Fanny, I have made a blessed piece of work of it indeed."
"I must express my concern," said the Duke, "that Miss Stanhope should have so far mistaken my character as to suppose any deceit necessary to induce me to act towards her with the liberality she is so justly entitled to. Had I been aware of your plot, it would have saved me much pain, as I should not have told my uncle that Miss Stanhope was the choice of my heart and the arbitress of my happiness. This lady," turning to Fanny, "has made it impossible for me to offer to any other woman the heart which is hers alone, and which, henceforward, depends for happiness upon her acceptance or refusal of its devotion. But you, Miss Stanhope, who know Lord Summertown so well, must be aware how difficult you have rendered the task of breaking to him a circumstance so opposite to his views and wishes, and of which he has not the most distant suspicion."
"On my account, my lord," said Fanny, "I trust you will not incur any displeasure from your uncle, since, however highly honoured by your Grace's notice, I am so circumstanced that it is utterly impossible for me to listen to your addresses. My presence here is no longer necessary, as the mystery of which you complained has been unravelled, and if you entertained any doubt of my sentiments, I trust they are for ever removed." So saying, without giving the Duke time to answer her, and before Miss Stanhope was aware of her intentions, Fanny darted out of the room, and left her two auditors in a frame of mind not very agreeable to themselves. End of chapter 19.